But I felt like this morning I kept hearing from the Lord, son, I want you to talk more about walking in wisdom, revelation, and insight. If there ever was a time for us, I'm talking about the world as we know it, to come into godly wisdom, revelation, and insight. How many know it's right now? If you don't do it every now and then, you need to just watch some news and just get a sense of what's out there. And it doesn't mean that you buy into all of it, but you just need to know some of the things that are being said. You need to know some of the things that are being planned. You need to know how the enemy is really, really pulling out all the stops as we come to the end of the age, as we come to the end of the world as we know it. And so it's important for us, the church, to grow up. It's important for us to grow up. It's important for us to step into a place of maturity so that God can use us. So I want to share some things today. Pastor Deborah, I didn't forward this to you because I just wasn't sure all of what I would share or where I'd really go with this. So I thank you for your patience and just flowing with me on this, okay? And so I want to read a couple of passages of Scripture starting out. First, Ephesians 1, 15 through 19. Ephesians 1, 15 through 19. It's good that you bring a Bible. It's good that you have a Bible app. How many of you know it's good to have a Bible Bible? Amen. It's good to have a Bible Bible. It doesn't make you any more saved than the person that's pulling it up on an app. But there's just something about having a Bible. What would happen the day that they decide we're not going to let people use Bible apps anymore? What you going to do? You need to have a few of these in your house somewhere. Amen. A few translations and things. And I love the apps and things. I have an incredible Bible software called Logos on my computer. It has thousands and thousands and thousands of books on it, all kind of commentaries and different things. But when I upgraded my computer, I couldn't access it. And I was telling Pastor Maurice, I said, man, I got to figure this out. I got $4,000 worth of information here. It's the equivalent of $4,000. It's more now. And Holy Spirit just walked me through how to do it, and I found it, and I got it back on, pulled back up. But you've got it. You've got to have. I won't say you got to have, but I encourage you to have at least one Bible. Right. Just one. Don't have to be King James, but just have one, and then the other ones that we work with. Because I'm reading today from my iPad concerning the Word. Walking in wisdom, revelation, insight. Ephesians 1, 15 through 19. Paul was writing here. Ephesus was terrible. It was terrible. It was idolatry. It was immorality. It was sexuality. Anything that you could name, it was like the modern version of Sodom and Gomorrah. Then I started to say a city today, but I won't do that. And so Paul is writing some very pointed things to the church when he writes to the church of Ephesus. But here he's writing, and he's writing to the church. He's writing to us. And this is what he says. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith of Jesus, of the Lord Jesus Christ, which exists among you, and your love for all saints, do not cease giving thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. He says this, that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom. Say wisdom and revelation. Say revelation. In the knowledge, say knowledge, of him. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. So he's praying here, and he's saying, I'm praying that you will come into a spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge, and I'm praying that the eyes of your heart be enlightened, that your heart be opened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Let me just say this to you. Often you need revelation of the people around you. You need a revelation of that sister or that brother, the one that you think might be a little off or you may just discount. And I believe that in this word here, he's saying, you need a revelation of the body of Christ. You need a revelation of the gifts. You need the revelation of those who you are gathered with. So that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches, the hidden treasure of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. I'm talking about walking in wisdom, revelation, and insight. When you read in various dictionaries, and they give you various, of course, definitions, in one it talks about with wisdom, it talks about the ability to discern inner qualities and discern relationships, wisdom. Revelation, an act of revealing or communicating divine truth, something that is revealed by God to humans. Revelation, an act of revealing to view or making known, going back to what Paul writes when he says here, I'm praying that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. Revelation, something that is revealed, especially an enlightening or astonishing disclosure. And then there's insight, the power, act, or ability to see into a situation. We need all of this operating in our lives. And thank God for Holy Ghost. Say, thank God for Holy Ghost. Say, thank you, Holy Spirit, for you are the Spirit of wisdom. You are the Spirit of truth. You are the Spirit of revelation. So Paul, in his writing, he says, I know that I need to pray for you that you come into a place of wisdom, revelation, and insight. It's in the book of Daniel, and I shared this briefly in the last time, and I want to share a little bit of it now because I want to refer to it in what I'm sharing today. I'm sorry, let me back up. Let me go to one other passage of Scripture before I go to Daniel. Matthew 16:13-20. Jesus is among his disciples. This is the passage of Scripture where he says to him, Pastor Deborah, just kind of flow with me because I'm going to move a little fast here. In Matthew 16:13-20, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's asking them, who do people say that I am? Who do men say that the Son of Man is? And they start to say, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, but others say Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And then he says, who do you say that I am? Now, they don't recognize it, but they are now in a revelation test, okay? He's walked with them, talked with them. Now, he wants to know, do you really know me? Who do you say that I am? And after those things, it was Peter that spoke up and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. You didn't get this on your own. But my Father who is in heaven, I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of Hades or hell will not overpower or prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now, when he's talking about the keys of the kingdom of heaven, he's really talking about revelation. I'm going to give you revelation that gives you access. When you talk about keys in the natural, keys give access. One of the things I believe he's saying to Peter is, I'm going to allow you to see things in the spirit realm so that you can speak them into existence. I'm going to give you keys, give you access, so that once you get in the room, once you get in the space, once you hear it, you can speak it. This is, if you will, the collaboration, the covenant relationship that you and I have with God. And that is, God works through his church. He works through his prophets. He works through his apostles, his pastors, his teachers. He works through the evangelists. He works through all of them. More specifically, the apostles and the prophets, he will speak something to them in order for it to be spoken to the body, spoken to an individual, or spoken into the earth. That's where we get decreeing and declaring from. But one thing we have to be clear on, decreeing is agreeing with and speaking what God has already said and done in the spirit realm. We have too many, we have landed in a place where a lot of individuals call themselves prophets, but they're not prophets. We have a lot of people that call themselves apostles, but they're not apostles. And it is weakening the body of Christ. It calls in to question the validity of the true individuals that walk in that office. Jesus clarifies what he says here. He says, I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. I love how it reads. Whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. That shall have been means it happened before you said it. It happened before you said it. Lest you and I start trying to treat God like he's a cosmic bellhop. Like we speak it, he does it. How many of you know none of us have that kind of power? But walking with God, working with God, in collaboration, in obedience, then we see the moving of God. The scripture says that the disciples went out preaching the word with Jesus, the Holy Spirit, following with signs and wonders. That's why it is the gift of Holy Spirit working in our lives, the power of God working in our lives, the authority that we have in the name of Jesus that allows us to access certain times, moments, seasons where God will use us miraculously, use us in healing, use us prophetically, use us to be able to declare and decree something. But none of us live there perpetually. None of us. If you did, you could just walk in every hospital and just heal everybody, and a lot of folks would be out of business. So there is the need that we have balance in this. Out of all the individuals saying things about Jesus, Peter just happens to be the guy that God speaks to. I find that so interesting because of the disciples, besides knowing what Judas was going to do, Peter was probably the most problematic of them. He was the most attitudinal. He was the one that needed to be checked. When Jesus said, you know, I must die and go to the cross, I'm paraphrasing, and Peter said, no, God, that ain't happening. And Jesus had to say, get thee behind me. And he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, he wasn't calling Peter the devil, but he was saying, you don't know what spirit you're speaking of right now. See, when we talk about walking in this place of wisdom, revelation, and insight, God's going to begin to help us have a heightened discernment. Say discernment. Come on, say discernment. So that you're able to recognize the spirit that's in operation, so that you can speak with wisdom and authority into that. Now, you got to know what I'm talking about right now doesn't happen just because you come to church on Sunday morning. It comes out of a life of prayer. It comes out of a discipline in the Word of God that causes you to have a heightened sensitivity to the things of God. Every believer has the right and authority to declare and decree in this realm what has already been revealed by Holy Spirit, that which has already been established in the Word of God and established in his kingdom. You and I are given the assignment to advance his kingdom. Okay? Advance his kingdom. We advance that kingdom as we walk out our individual call and our corporate call. We advance that kingdom together. We have to recognize, and you've heard me say this before, revelation in isolation is dangerous. Revelation in isolation is dangerous. You can think you're the most spiritual person on the planet, but if you ain't got the right folk around you to help you, I can tell you some stories, and some folk in here could tell you some stories. And that's why some people end up, they're just as gifted as they could be, but they're not working the way God intended for the body to work. And that brings me to Daniel. Because it's in the book of Daniel, we know the story of Daniel. When they are taken into Babylon, in chapter 1, we see how that Daniel decided he wasn't going to eat of the king's food, and God gave him favor. Say favor. Favor. Come on, say favor. I want you to understand that when you are endeavoring to walk in godly wisdom, revelation, and insight, he will give you favor. He will give you favor to be able to walk in it, and he'll place those around you who can help you to walk in it. And so he gave him favor. So at the end of that season where they tried to indoctrinate them, tried to assimilate them, and that's why you see they change their name, change their clothes, change their diet. All of those things have to do with indoctrination, assimilation. It's what cults use. They strip you of your original, your true identity. You have to start wearing certain things, talking a certain way, a certain language, a certain vocabulary. But Daniel found favor, so at the end, Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, they all found favor with the guard that was over them. But it's in chapter 2 that the king has a dream, and the king decides, I need this dream interpreted, but I'm not going to tell them the dream so they can make something up. He calls all of them in, and the scripture says that he calls in the magicians and the soothsayers and all of those, and Daniel and his boys are in that group, even though they're not of the group. In the world, not of the world. You see, there are times when God will have you in a situation. He will put you in an environment. He'll put you in a group, and you for a while will look like everybody else until the moment of revelation, until the moment of the need that's greater, bigger than anybody else in the room, anybody else around you. That's why it's important that you and I are not quick to, God, get me out of here. You may be on the job you're on. No, let me back that up, because I said you may be on the job. If you are working in a secular role, you're there for a reason. You're there for a reason. Now, the thing that gets challenging is when you and I are not allowing Holy Spirit to continually balance and recalibrate our minds, our desires, our emotions around things, we can get in a place where we really just get discontent. And before you know it, God can't really move through us the way that he's intended. The very reason he has you there, because your attitude is messed up. So your revelation antenna is down. Yes, Jesus. And so there's times when, and this is the blessing, if you will, or the beauty of coming into relationship in a very unique what I would call intentional way, and that is so that we can help one another recognize why you are where you are in this season. It's through relationships that it brings the balance, and often it's through the relationships that you and I will be able to receive the wisdom, the revelation, and insight. So the king says, I'm not going to tell you the dream. You have to tell me the dream and the interpretation of the dream. Now, all of those around him made it clear, no one can do that. No one can do that. Now, I'm moving along with it, so I don't want to read all of it. But I'm picking it up at verse 12. And so the king decides he's going to kill all of them, including Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael. Verse 12, because of this, the king became indignant and furious and gave orders to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So they were considered part of the wise men group. So the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they looked for Daniel and his friends to kill them. Then Daniel replied with discretion and discernment. I love that. I just love that the way that's written. He replied with discretion and discernment. It didn't say he responded with fear and anxiety. He replied with discretion and discernment to Arioch, the captain of the king's bodyguard, who had gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. And he said to Arioch, the king's commander, "For what reason is the decree from the king so urgent?" And Arioch informed Daniel about the matter. So Daniel went in and requested of the king that he would give him time in order that he might declare the interpretation to the king. Then Daniel went to his house, and he informed his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, about the matter, so that they might request compassion from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that David and his friends would not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. You see, what I love about this, when I'm talking about us walking in wisdom, revelation, and insight, is you see that Daniel didn't take this on himself. He recognized, now he knew that his friends' lives weighed in the balance as well, but he went to them and said, "Help me to pray into this. Help me to get revelation on this. Help me to get the answer that's needed." I believe in all of our lives, you need to have those relationships that God's given you. It's not a lot. Jesus had Peter, John, and James. Three or four who are part of that nucleus, that when you are seeking God for wisdom, when you're seeking God for insight, you're able to say, "Would you pray with me?" And not only would you pray with me, if you hear something that you believe, would you share it with me? Because I need wisdom. I need some revelation. I need some insight. It says that Daniel went to the house to his friends, told them about the matter. Guys, this isn't good. So we're going to have to pray. The king's trying to kill all of us because nobody can interpret, or can interpret his dream. He's not willing to tell anybody the dream. He wants us to tell him the dream and then tell him the interpretation. Guys, we need to pray. I need to pray with me. Let's seek God. And they do, and God responds. In verse 19, it says, "Then the mystery was revealed, revelation to Daniel in the night vision, in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven." The scripture says that in the last days, that believers will dream dreams. Men will have vision. I believe that we are in that place where God's going to begin to speak things through those whom he can trust with the revelation, with the wisdom, with the insight. There is another place of relationship that we've got to walk in. It's a place of relationship where there's a level of discipline in your life that when you come here, you're good. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't all go through something at some point where we need to come together, but I'm saying for the most part, it's a level of discipline in your life, in your prayer, in your word, in fasting, in seeking God, spending quiet time with God, that you're able to be used by God even in this kind of setting. I'm talking about mature believers. He revealed it to him in a night vision, revealed it to him in a dream. Some say night vision are like looking at a movie. I've never had a night vision, but I have had some dreams. When we are sensitive to the revealing of the things of God, hear me. When I say when we are sensitive to, what I also mean when you and I have postured ourselves, prepared ourselves to be able to hear him, he will speak to us. He will speak to you. You see, what happened with Peter concerning his answer saying, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of God," it showed an awareness of Peter's sensitivity to God, hearing God. So that's why when you fast forward into the book of Acts, around chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10, that's where now he has the dream. This dream he has to do with salvation coming to the Gentiles. The challenge with it was Peter was still navigating through some of the new ways of life as a Christian. And so he's still thinking under the law. Wisdom, revelation, insight will often challenge the law. Wisdom, revelation, insight will sometimes challenge the law. In this case, it was the food. But some of you will remember back in 2020, during the pandemic, I delivered a message, and I found it on YouTube. I told Pastor Jamal I need to repost this message right now. And it was walking in deliberate faith, gracefully defiant. Walking in deliberate faith, gracefully defiant. And one of the examples I used was Daniel with the food. Walking in deliberate faith, gracefully defiant. What I meant by that is he's standing firm in his faith, but God has given him the grace to be able to do it and gave him the favor. So in that situation, you don't see anything in his reading. He just said, "I can't eat that." He didn't say, "I ain't eating this food. Do you know who I am? Do you know who my..." No. But the grace was there. Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, we can't bow down. Walking in deliberate faith, gracefully defiant. There's times when the revelation hits up against tradition. The revelation hits up against the law. And the reason why I delivered that message when I did was simply to say, we as the people of God, as the body of Christ, we must be clear on where we live. Now, I know we live in America, and we do abide by the laws. But then there are times... And what I was talking about is when they said you couldn't meet and you couldn't have service. When they said you can't touch each other. But my Bible says lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I'm talking about walking in deliberate faith, gracefully defiant. So Peter, he had to wrestle with the revelation of what came to him. I want you to know that God's going to begin to speak some things to us and show us some things to help us walk in a greater manifestation of revelation. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I want to read some of this, starting at verse, I believe it's verse 1, Pastor Deborah. And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the power of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Paul was educated. He was highly educated. But he was clear in saying, I'm not coming to you out of that wisdom, out of that knowledge. I'm coming to you out of the wisdom and the Spirit of the living God. It goes on and says, yet we do not speak wisdom among those who are mature, talking about natural wisdom by knowledge and experience. He says, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. He's saying, we are talking to you from a different place of wisdom. Not wisdom that comes out of books, that comes out of experiences. It's the wisdom that comes from God. A lot of times when I'm traveling and I'm somewhere for the first time and people are trying to get an idea, okay, who's this guy? And a lot of times people are trying to, you know, they're trying to gauge, you know, how old is this guy? And I just say like this. I said, I'm older than I look and I'm wiser than the years I've been on this planet. And I mean that because the one that lives on the inside of me. I'm wiser than the years I've been on this planet, because of the one who lives on the inside of me. And that's the one I rely on. Paul is saying the same thing. We're wiser now because of Holy Spirit. He says, but it is written, things which eye has not seen or ear has not heard, and which has not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit teaches all things, even the depths of God. That's why earlier today I said, come on, let's just begin to pray in the Spirit. Let's just begin to release our prayer language. That is the most powerful place you can pray. That's the most powerful posture. And if you happen to be one and you're not Spirit-filled, all you got to do is say, fill me with your Spirit, Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And he will give you Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will come in and empower you. The enemy, every time you go into tongues, he can't do anything with it. He can't do anything with you because he has no idea where you just went. As long as you pray in the natural, he can kind of track that. But the moment you and then you really like point your finger. They're like, okay, I don't know what he's saying, but we got to get out of here. That's why a lot of times I say, come on, let's pray in the Spirit. Lift your hands. I'm talking about Clear the air. Clear the airways. For to us God revealed through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Let me read that again. Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. That's why it's important for us to maintain a consistent prayer life if we're going to walk in wisdom, revelation, and insight. In Romans 8, 26 and 20, through 28, it says, in the same way the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. Our wisdom is finite. Our insight is limited. And so we can pray out of what we think and still miss it. It goes on and says this here in Romans 8. It says, the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of God. The Spirit, what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. According to the will of God. According to the will of God. You and I have been given the most precious gift in Holy Spirit. And it's when we allow Holy Spirit to flow through us. And again, it's out of that relational place. Then when you're just riding in your car, you're praying in the Spirit. When you're in the stores, you're praying in the Spirit. There's so many things that God's doing that he would like to invite you into, give you revelation, wisdom, and insight. And when you begin to live out of that place, all of a sudden you start to see some things. God begins to reveal some things. You start to hear some things that you've never heard before. That's where it's coming from. He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. It is out of that place that God is able to bring to us wisdom, revelation, and insight. I'm going back to Corinthians now. Paul goes on and writes, I'm still in chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul writes there, he continues on and he says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. We're talking about Holy Spirit. So that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. Spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Spiritual thoughts with praying in the Spirit. That's why he says the natural man cannot accept these things. They are foolishness. On the day of Pentecost, they said, it's like they're drunk. But that's where we know that the Bible says God will take the foolish things to confound the wise. One of the things about wisdom, revelation, and insight is that God can reveal something to you and nobody else really get it. That's why we have to learn how to steward revelation and insight. Is it possible that God wants to show you something that he's not showing anybody else? And when he shows you, how do you steward that? You want to make sure that you're not trying to appear to be so spiritual that you want to share this thing and it ain't making sense to nobody else. There's times when God will reveal something to you for the sake of someone or for the sake of his body. But then there's times just out of the relationship. He says, hey, I just want to show you something. He shows you and that's it. Don't tell anybody. Jesus tried that. It didn't work. Remember when, in that same passage of scripture, when Peter says what he does, at the end it says, then Jesus warned the disciples that they should not tell anyone he was the Christ. But he was healing people. Okay, don't tell anybody. They'd run right out and tell everybody. He knew that they would. But God will bring to you wisdom, revelation, insight, so that you're able to walk in greater confidence in him. Be able to speak in confidence to those whom he has given you. I want to read one last scripture. Well, let me come back to Daniel for a minute because I love how this story plays out. Daniel chapter 2, verse 19. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel said, let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to you. It is he who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to men and knowledge to men of understanding. It is he who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God, God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and power. Even now, you have made known to me what we requested of you. For you have made known to us the king's matter. I want you to notice right here, when he's finishing this, he says, you have made known to me what we have requested. For you have made known to us the king's matter. Daniel was acknowledging, I didn't get this on my own. We sought God together. The Bible says that there is safety, there is wisdom in a multitude of counsel. When you've got the right people in your life and the right people around you, they can help you navigate through things. You want to have the right people around you. You want to have the people around you that don't want to just be your friend, so they just keep telling you what you want to hear. When you're seeking God and you're trying to get answers, you need folk around you who will be able to help you hear, really hear the truth, really hear God. And if the relationship is good, if the relationship is solid, you won't get mad if their perspective is different than yours, and they won't get mad if your perspective is different than theirs. These guys were committed to each other. Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, they were walking this out together. It goes on and says, therefore Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and spoke to him as follows. Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me into the king's presence. I will declare the interpretation to the king. I said this in one of my earlier teachings. Notice he didn't say, look, you can kill the rest, but me and my boys, we got the answer. Because what he understood is the That might be a sign like you're done. When the mic goes off, it's like, okay, I guess we're done. Daniel makes it clear that we sought God and he gave me the answer. But we sought God. So Daniel goes to the king. Goes to the guard, and he says, take me to the king immediately. 25, then Arioch hurriedly brought Daniel into the king's presence and spoke to him as follows. I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can make the interpretation known to the king. My point right before my mic went out was this. You can't lose sight of the fact that you may be there for the preservation of everybody else. We can never lose sight of that. Do you understand that because Holy Spirit is here on planet Earth, because the church is here, things can only go so far, but the day the church is gone, all bets are off. Daniel was wise enough to know that while he could have went in and said, I got the interpretation, and me and my guys, we figured it out. God gave it to us, so I don't care about the rest of them. But he understood, God has me here for the preservation of others. So he takes him to the king. The king said to Daniel, verse 26, the king said to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, that's the name they gave him, that Babylonian name. Are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation? Now, I love the way he answered. Daniel answered before the king and said, as for the mystery about which the king has inquired, neither wise men, conjurers, magicians, nor diviners are able to declare to the king. However, I love that. However, there is a God. Hey. See, that's where we as believers very often are in an environment where God says, now I'm going to give you revelation in this. And you're able to say, you know what? You know, I know you've been trying to figure this out, and I've been praying, and my God has given me the answer. He says, however, there is a God in heaven who reveals revelation, who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will take place in the latter days. This was your dream and the visions in your mind while on your bed. O king, while on your bed, your thoughts turn to what would take place in the future, and he who reveals mysteries has made known to you what will take place. Listen to this. But as for me, the mystery has not been revealed for me, for any wisdom residing in me more than any other living man, but for the purpose of making the interpretation known to the king. and that you may understand the thoughts of your mind. He's helping him to know what I'm about to share with you. I didn't get this on my own. This is not me. This is not me. This is God. We are living in a time where God's going to begin to move through his body with greater wisdom, revelation, and insight. Those who will posture themselves to spend time with him will be those that God will begin to show things, begin to speak things, begin to reveal things. And he will also make aware to you how you are to steward what he says, what he brings to you, and what he shows you. Last verse, Romans 16:25, it says, "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which has been kept secret for long ages past, but now is manifested, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the eternal God, has been made known to all nations, leading to obedience of faith to the only wise God through Jesus Christ. Be the glory forever. Amen." Amen. Revelation, wisdom, revelation, insight in this hour. It's for the saving of souls, the advancement of the kingdom. God wants to move in your life in greater, more specific ways. He wants to bring you into the place of wisdom, of revelation, and greater insight. Not just for yourself, but for others. So right where you're at for the next moment, just close your eyes. And I'm asking you to pray the prayer that you want to pray, you need to pray in light of this word concerning you. Take a moment and do that right now.